This episode is brought to you by Business Success Consulting Group. Does the way your business currently operate prevent you from scaling and growing? Is the most valuable knowledge in your organization held by just a handful of key personnel? Are you spending valuable time training your teams instead of running your business? Business Success Consulting Group understands the challenges of organizing while you grow, and they specialize in putting order into the chaos of an expanding organization. Adi and her team at BSCG work closely with you and your team to capture vital business knowledge, and then they help you develop, document, optimize, and implement systems and processes across every area of your organization, from sales and operations to marketing, human resources, and business development. Adi and her team have decades of experience and will help you empower your teams to function effectively with reproducible results that will set your business up for continual success and expansion. Schedule your free consultation today by calling or texting 503-662-2911.
We had nothing. So every single day I went out and canvassed. I was knocking doors for a year. And then when I was 23, I had my first $1 million month.
Too many people are sitting around just waiting for those calls to come in. But if you rely on that, you're missing out on what the business can do for you.
Have you ever felt like there's a secret club of successful contractors and you're left outside? Want in? Well, you just found the entry door. Welcome to the Wealthy Contractor Podcast. Each episode, we pull back the curtain, revealing the stories, strategies, and secrets that top leaders use to grow their home improvement business and enjoy more success, more wealth, and more freedom. Discover more at thewealthycontractor.com. Now let's get into today's episode.
All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Wealthy Contractor Podcast. This is Brian Kaskavalsian, and with me today is Lakota Tidd. Lakota has a company called Top Home Improvements out of Grand Rapids, Michigan. We met at Top 500 this last year. You and your partner, Derek, were on stage. And what really impressed me the most was just how humble, and these guys were just cool. They were just kind. They didn't get up there and they weren't beating their chests and they weren't saying, oh, look at us, we're this and we're that. And so I immediately went over and said, hey, man, I love your story. I would love to have you on the podcast because I want to learn more. And so Lakota, welcome. I'm glad you're here. Give everybody kind of the 2-minute backstory. Where did you guys start? Where did you and Derek start? When did you start the business? Give us a little bit of that backstory.
Derek and I, we met working at another home remodeling company. At the age of 21, I just had this urge that, you know, and I wanted to try something, you know, so we both left high paying jobs and started Top Home Improvements up in my mom's garage. A little over probably 6 years ago now. I was the marketer. He was the salesman. We both had a little bit of experience, but we had no money. When we started in that garage, we had a vision, we had a goal and a whiteboard, and that's pretty much it.
Now you're all of 27. That was 6 years ago.
So my job was to provide appointments. And the only way I knew how to do that without spending money that we didn't have was by knocking doors. So literally for the first year of business, I knocked doors every single day for my company alone, just me and my beat up truck. And that was whether it was rain or shine or a Michigan blizzard. Okay. I did it every day to make sure that that schedule was full. And there's one day that I'll never forget. And that's the day that I wanted to quit. I was out in the field canvassing, and that wears on you, right? In the middle of Michigan, in the middle of winter, and I was in a blizzard. And I had zero appointments on the board for that day and the next day. So I had to be out there. And I remember I pulled out my pen and it was completely frozen. So even if I did get an appointment, I couldn't write one. And I just remembered that, you know, I just had these thoughts of, what am I doing? You know, we're not getting anywhere. Might as well quit. But I had a realization that if we could literally turn nothing, that day there's nothing, nothing exists, into something incredible. That one day we'd be invited on stage, right? Or we'd be invited on podcast somewhere and we'd be able to tell our story and other people might get something out of that and inspire them in those moments too. Because in business, there's a lot of those blizzards. That kept me going. And now we flash forward, you know, 5-6 years. I don't knock doors anymore, but I do have close to 40 people that knock them for us. We are pretty much all outbound, so mainly focused on canvassing and events. We did $14 million in revenue last year. We're looking to scale. We're adding in what everyone else is doing, lead aggregates, traditional marketing, opening up new locations. And we're going to just keep scaling it until we're one of the largest in Michigan.
Wow, I love it. And I remember you telling that story about being out every day. Like literally, you were out every day, right? You did not give up.
Yeah. At that point, she was my girlfriend. Now she's my wife. And I have two beautiful boys with her. But yeah, every single morning I'd wake up, she would be like, "You're going out in this?" I have to. We had nothing. So yeah, every single day I went out and canvassed. And the beautiful part of that is we never lost that. Instead, we only invested more into it. And now our whole company is built off of it.
So you're not relying on anybody else to make leads for you. You guys are going out and you're making the market.
We're completely reliant on just us, and that allows us to get through a lot of hurdles. For example, when we first started, that's when COVID hit. Now, we didn't get all the golden nuggets that everyone else got because we didn't have any branding, zero call-ins, nothing. The only thing we got was I would go and set up these home shows, and they all canceled on me. So I set up all the home shows by myself, and that was our big kicker. That's what I've been waiting for. It's going to really help us grow this company. And they all got shut down. The beautiful part about that was, you know, I went back knocking doors and people were home. So I'd wear a mask and gloves, and people love to talk to somebody. They haven't talked to anyone in weeks. And I would show up and we'd pitch them right on the porch.
Bad part about this business is that you start at zero every day. But the good part about this business is that if you are at zero in the morning, you could do what you do. And that is you could go knock doors. You can make an opportunity. You can get a chance to sell somebody. And by the end of that day, you could have a sale in the books, a deposit, and a job going into production. And you know, there aren't a lot of businesses out there like that. And I don't think that there's a lot of people that understand that. It's like, if you don't have leads today, the only excuse that you could possibly use for not having leads is that, and this is a bad one, but, and it's extreme, but it's because your leg is broken and you're in a hospital.
That's why they have wheelchairs.
Yeah. There you go. See, this is the attitude of somebody that wants it bad, that wants it bad. And look, the things I'm going to say here, please, to the listener, please don't take what I'm going to say the wrong way. I'm all about hard truths, and we speak with love and respect. I want you guys to be successful. So that's why I'm going to say these hard truths. But this guy, he wants it bad. He wants success, whatever that means for him. He wants the wealth that's going to come from the business that he's building. And he wants the freedom that he's going to experience if you haven't started already. But you want it bad, and you're willing to do what it takes to make that happen.
You're 100% right on that. And like you said, that the opportunities are there every single day. The only difference is we're taking them.
Yeah. Too many people are sitting around as if they're in like a retail business or in a restaurant. They're just waiting for those calls to come in, or they're waiting for the aggregator to provide leads. And yeah, okay, you could do something with that. But if you rely on that, you're missing out on what the business can do for you.
What I learned at Top 500 was people truly believe that you can't build a business off of canvassing. When I got off that stage, I had a ton of people come up to me, and a lot of people thought it was amazing. What I learned is that the canvassing geniuses at that show have never canvassed before. They say that, oh, I do bathrooms, so I can't canvass. Well, our number one product sold from canvassing is bathrooms, right? So if you ever have someone say, well, I can't do canvassing here, ask them one question. When have you canvassed before? The answer is always the same. Oh, I just haven't because we can't.
Or I tried that and it didn't work. How long did you do it yourself?
I was there for knocking doors for a year. I built up my whole canvassing team. I led from the front. I have whole bunch of tiers now. I have marketing directors, van leaders. It's all in place, but I sat in every seat in that van.
What's the key to a good Canvas program?
Leadership.
What do you mean by that?
When we interview other people from other companies around here, the Canvassers don't get the training, they don't get the coaching, and they don't have the leadership. You know, they just throw someone and say, hey, drive them here and drop them off. Ours is all systematic. You know, because we survived from canvassing, we've got it pretty much nailed down on what exactly to do. We have all the neighborhoods picked out. We have positions for each person that has a role with canvassing. We have lead generators, and we have the van leader whose job is to make sure that we hit the amount of doors that need to be hit, and we bring home the amount of issued appointments that we need. Then I have a manager on top of that that manages all of them and the department as a whole and all the behind the scenes. I have a marketing director that plays a part on the events, the call center, and the canvassing. You know, what we do differently is we actually care about our people. It's so crazy, but when I get on calls with companies, they say, hey, do you guys buy, it's cold sometimes here, do you guys buy your canvassers apparel? I'm like, yeah, we treat them like kings here. At most companies, they're treated like nothing. No, they're treated, they are the backbone of this company, and they know that. We say it to them every day. We get them really nice apparel, very warm apparel. You know, we make sure when it's super hot, they have all the Gatorade in the world. And when it's super cold, they have all the hand warmers in the world too, because we appreciate them. My sales reps appreciate them, because if it weren't for them, my sales reps would be knocking doors. And we give them all the coaching and all the leadership in the world. Every single class that comes in here, you know, I tell them, if whatever door you knock today, I've knocked.
So what is your cost of marketing?
On canvassing, before we added in lead aggregates and everything like that, we were around 8%.
That's amazing. So at 8%, it makes sense. And it shows of how much you care about your people. Because 8%, man, you got room for 8%. If you're at 15, 18, a lot of people are 15, 18% on canvassing. And you got to wonder, well, how are you able to do it at half of that?
There's a lot of tricks and tips to it, right? And one of them is that the job that people get burnt out the most is canvassing, right? We move people around in this company. I've always said that building a company is easy. Building people is hard. That's my job. I need to focus on building my people. And then they'll build the business.
At 37 years old, I wish I understood that. Like I understand it today.
It didn't come easy. You know, and the reason we're humble is because we've messed up so many times. I can only talk like this today because of how much I've learned. You know, business is not easy.
I want to know about the grind. I want to know what got you to this point. And so let's go back now. So you're running canvassing for a year. You're out there every flipping day, regardless of what it is. Now you've got a system. Now you're starting to hire people. In that first year, how much revenue did you guys do?
So the first 6 months, we didn't get really anywhere. You know, we had no money. So we just had to skate by, and it was setting everything up. But our first full year, halfway through the year, I started building the teams up and doing shows and events. And I had like three canvassers. And I think we did about 2.8 million. And then the second year, I think we did close to five. And then when I was 23, I had my first $1 million month, strictly canvassing and events. I think that year we did like 8.1.
Very profitable, right? You guys didn't take on debt. You're using cash flow to grow the business.
I come from a place of scarcity. Didn't come from much money at all. So yeah, super careful with money. And I think that's what made us so good at canvassing, is because I had a scarcity mindset. I wasn't willing to pay the 18% marketing cost for everything else. And that's not holding back my business anymore. So it was a big, beautiful thing back then, because it saved our business and grew it. But then came to a point where I was holding it back. So I had overcome that paradigm myself and with my coach. The reason we're humble is because we did it the barbaric way.
Yeah.
We built a $10 million business the barbaric way. And that's by getting in a van and driving out and going and getting it. We didn't have anyone call. We didn't have anyone. The phones were not ringing. And then it wasn't going to scale anything past 10 million at that point. So that's when I started networking. I get to meet you. I get to go to Top 500. People love the story, and they got us right up on that stage. Gottlieb's been a huge help for us. We were the lone wolves, and we thought it was cool. It's not cool.
It's not.
It's not.
I was for a long time. I was the lone wolf.
Yeah.
If I had a Gottlieb in my life back then, oh my God. Because back then too, I didn't know who I could trust. You know, if somebody had a good start, I had these two guys come in, and they sold me like, oh my God, man, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And we're going to, and I was paying them every month, you know, consulting, and we're just getting deeper and deeper and deeper in the hole. And, you know, and I see people doing that today. That's why I asked you. I knew that you guys didn't take on debt. I knew that you used cash flow just from the way you talk. I hear people, they tell me when we talk about their finances, I ask about debt. And I lately, the last, especially the last couple, 3 years, I get this reaction now because I'm afraid of what they're going to tell me. Too many people in this business are carrying loads of debt. You don't need debt in this business.
In other businesses, you do. You know, like real estate, you can use it as leverage. But in certain businesses, you don't need it, and it's only going to hurt you. Now, I don't understand it as much in this business because I've yet to, you know, look into it and or need it. But in real estate, it's a great thing. You can leverage it. But this isn't real estate.
This is not a fast food restaurant that you need to spend $1 million to build. There's no capital improvements you need to make. There's really not huge capital expenditures in building this business. And yet, I don't understand how people can get into hundreds of thousands. I mean, I understand because I did it. I mean, I actually did it. And what I've realized is, you go into debt when you have a broken profit model. When you don't understand the numbers of your business and you don't understand, wait a minute, my gross margin is not enough to cover not only my overhead, but I can't spend marketing and what I need to spend on marketing. And then, of course, there's no bottom line. And so many people, and it doesn't sound like you guys did this, but so many people are also going for that revenue. If we just get enough revenue, there's going to be some money left here somewhere.
Actually, I did do that. Until we got to 10 million, we realized this isn't working. I just listened to your podcast with Chris Carey, and he brought up Bob Quillen, and he taught me a ton about the P&L. When I say barbaric way, we didn't track anything.
Yeah. Wow.
It was not good. So I thought, you know, if we did it the wrong way, imagine what we could do the right way. You know, if we built 10 million the wrong way, we can grow 50 million the right way. So yeah, we had to do the same thing Chris Carey did. We raised our prices 30% right away, went through a whole bunch of stuff. He taught me a ton about leadership. As a young guy, I always struggled with, you know, I was 23, 24, 25, 26, leading people three times my age. I always wondered, and I asked him this, I said, how do I know if I'm a good leader? You know, how do I know if I'm doing this correctly? Because that's what I care about. I care about building people and being a good leader for them. And he looked at me and he said, you know, when you're a good leader, Lakota, when you have a powerful conversation with one of your employees in your office, and it's not going over the good stuff, it's going over all the bad stuff that they need to improve on. And that by the time they walk out their door, before they close it, they turn around and they say, hey, thank you, sir. And that hit me hard. And I don't even think he knows that, how hard it hit me. And that's how I lead. And what he means by that is that they truly trust you, that no matter what conversation that you have with them, that it's for their benefit. And it's my job as the leader to have those tough conversations because there's no one else above them to do that. So it's my job to do it. And I can do it really well because I truly believe it's best for them. And they do turn around every time and say, hey, thank you, sir. So him saying that showed me that I am a powerful leader. And that's all I needed to keep scaling this place.
That's beautiful. You know, one of my favorite people in the business and one of the best operators I've ever met is a guy named Larry Gebhardt. He would meet with every single team member and he would talk to them about not only about the business, he would talk to them about their personal life, about their money, about their fitness goals. What are your goals and how do we help you get there? And it's so impressive. And I know a few owners that do stuff like that. And it really is incredible. You know, when you were saying earlier about how hard it is to build people, it's easy to build a business. It's hard to build people. It's so true. And at a young age like you, I mean, to understand this stuff at your age is very impressive. You know, because you know, look, you got to be open. Like you said, you got to, you, when you started going and started asking people questions, you got to be open to the feedback that you're going to get. And then you got to actually go and flip and execute on it and listen, you know, and say, okay, wow, okay, this is good. This is part of his success formula. Let me go do it. But, you know, do it with your spin, your flavor.
Leadership is a skill that unfortunately a lot of people don't invest into. I have to do it because, you know, the last thing we want is a role to ever.
Hey, it's Brian. Let me ask you something. Are you running a business or is your business running you? Maybe leads are inconsistent. Maybe you can't find the right people. Maybe you're working harder than ever and your numbers still don't reflect your effort. Or maybe you've grown the company, but it still can't run without you. You're still a salesperson, still the problem solver, still the one putting out fires every day. And if you're honest, it's starting to feel less like a business and more like a job you built for yourself. That's exactly why we created Success Society. It's a group of serious home improvement business owners who want to build companies that actually work for them. Companies that produce real profit, real freedom, and real growth. If you're curious whether it might be right for you, I want to invite you to book a free business growth consultation with my team. We'll take a look at your business, identify what's holding you back, and give you clear next steps to move forward. If we're a fit to work together, great. And if not, you'll still walk away with clarity. Go to theentrydoor.info and book your call today.
Outgrow someone, a leader, right? And the most, and where that happens the most is the owner's role. And I can't allow that to happen. So that's why I read. That's why I'm doing this with you. That's why I'm also going to accelerate for the first time, right? We're joining everyone else's pack and going to learn as much as we possibly can to help grow the company. That way we can have more people work at an amazing place.
People don't spend as much time on leadership, like you said, like they should. And instead, what are they doing? Where are they spending their time? What is more important than developing yourself as a leader? Every entrepreneur gets to a point where they say, enough is enough. I'm going to do this the right way. And I'm going to go and I'm going to make my dreams happen. And they take a different path. And that path, like you said, it's hard. It's ugly sometimes. And you have to have the mental fortitude to keep moving. I did canvassing. I hate to admit this, but I've done canvassing maybe 10 times in my life. Maybe. That might even be a stretch. I hated every minute of it. Every minute of it. And I stopped doing it. Why? Because my why wasn't strong enough back then. That'll ruin you. You know, I mean, it'll mess you up, but you had the fortitude to stay with it every single day because you knew, okay, I got to do this. So we get to that, which then takes us here. And then you didn't know how it was all going to unfold, but you had an idea, you had a vision. And so I'm going to go back to the leadership thing here for a minute. How did you start to make time to learn about what it takes to be a better leader and practice being a better leader? Because I see it, Lakota, I see it all the time with people. And yeah, you know, I'm probably guilty of this myself, but you ask people, what was the last book you read that's going to make you a better entrepreneur? When was the last time you went to a conference or you went somewhere, you joined a coaching group or a mentorship group, something to develop you as a person? How did you carve out the time and what were some of the things that you did?
Well, first I'd like to go back to, you know, the canvassing. By the way, I didn't love a second of it.
Oh, I know you didn't.
It's something that I had to do, right? And I'd call my dad and my dad would say, you're out there anyways, you might as well keep going. And you're like, yeah, the only thing I had to do was drive out there. And at that point, I'm out there anyways. You know, it's like a cold plunge. The worst part is before you even get in. I stuck through and I kept going. And you know, we built something on top of that. When it comes to self-growth, you know, it's like I said earlier, building a business is easy. Building people is hard. But who's building you? You know, in a leadership role and you're the top guy, there's only one person that's going to grow you, and that's you. And that's not easy. I'd much rather have someone else tell me, hey, go read this book, go work out, you know, go have this conversation, go fire this person, right? That's just not how it is. That's my job. I get to do that with my people, you know, but who's building me? Well, me. I just developed this mentality the last couple of years, really. That's what allows me to read and do these things and go to the events. The key here is that people think growth feels good. Growth doesn't feel good at all. Okay. The only time growth feels good is after the growth is done. Prior to that, it feels stressful. It feels uncomfortable. You have knots in your stomach. It feels horrible. And that's when you know you're doing the right thing. And then afterwards, when you have that experience, growth feels great. It's like this. It's like last week, my director of operations had to fire someone on their team who was a high performer, but not great for our culture. She came in my office, we sat down, and she knew what the right thing to do was, but she's never fired anyone. She never had to. She's always had great people. She was stressed. She was anxious. She had knots in her stomach. And I just explained to her, I said, you're not stressed. You're going through what growth is. And it doesn't feel good right now. Growth feels like all of that right now. But you know the right thing to do. All you have to do is do it. And then you're going to feel what growth feels like afterwards. And it feels great. And she understood it and she went and did it. She fired that person. The next day she came in here. She was so happy and excited. She said, I want to fire everyone. I said, whoa. You know, I think people get that mixed up and growth doesn't feel good. And I don't care if you don't like to read or you don't like to go to events, you have to force yourself to do it. I don't care if you don't like knocking doors, you have to force yourself to do it. You have to lead yourself and you have to force yourself to grow. Because I don't think growth is natural. I think it's actually very unnatural.
As an entrepreneur, you've decided on a different path in life. You've decided on a path that really depends entirely on you and your dreams and your desires. And if you are not building yourself, it's drawing a line in the sand and saying, enough is enough. I'm going to stop doing things the way that create chaos, no money, unhappy life, stress at home, not being able to be around my kids, missing out on all of the important things in life, not having a business that relies entirely on me. That's a shitty way to live. It's about building you as a person. That was one of the big things I realized is that I was working on myself. I was becoming a really good marketer back when I was your age, when I really was getting into business. Marketing was like my thing. And so I'm learning all the ins and outs, how to write headlines, how to do this, how to do that. We had a killer selling system, you know? And so, you know, I was working on that stuff. And that's all well and good. But if you're not also developing yourself, then you're never going to get where you want to go. And I just want to say, by the way, that, you know, so this is the book I wrote, Seven Secrets to Becoming a Wealthy Contractor, which came out of thousands of these hours of these conversations. It's like, well, wait a minute. What separates the really successful from the struggling? The only thing that we've really talked about mechanics wise about your business so far has been about canvassing. And we didn't even go that deep into it. I just asked you, you know, what your marketing cost was. I didn't ask you about, what's the scripting like and what's all that? Because none of that matters until you become someone that's got a burning desire to become something, to have more in life. You have this big dream and then your willingness to do what it takes to make that happen and understanding that, hey, wait a minute, I got to look at me in order to make that happen. You, by the way, my friend, all seven of the secrets in our 30-minute conversation, you hit on. You had number one, secret number one's clarity. What do I want? You know what you want. Number two, you take responsibility. You said it earlier. You take responsibility for everything. It's up to you. Number three is commitment. How much more committed can you be than being out in a blizzard? Four is understanding at its core, this is a sales and marketing business. That's where you guys started. Now you realize, well, wait a minute. Okay, we got the sales and marketing piece down, but we're really in the business also of developing people. The fifth thing is time. How are you using your time? Well, you're doing the right things. You're studying leadership. You're learning from other people. You're mentoring with other people. Six is your mindset. is what are you doing? What are you telling yourself? What are your beliefs inside? And then the last one is taking action. It's like now taking what I've got, not necessarily having knowing everything in front of me, but it's taking action on what's that next step? What's that next thing we have to do? Because once I do that, the next steps are going to start to reveal themselves.
Step seven is the most important part, because the problem with people is they know all of this stuff, but they don't take action towards it. With us, we take immense amount of action. We implement really quickly. Here's the worst thing that can happen is, and I created this word, if it doesn't work out, we de-implement it. You just stop using it, right? So we test everything here. You know, we implement at a high level, and if it doesn't work, we stop doing it and we go back to what was working. Where a lot of people I talk to, they have this fear of failure and they never change. And so they get what they fear.
How are things with you and Derek?
Great. I am all gas pedal and he is the brakes, right? We have a great partnership. We're both young. We're both hungry and we have a vision for this company that is truly important. We want to create a company that's doing $50 million in revenue. The reason why is because I want to be the man worthy of that. And that's going to be a long journey. But if you're truly worthy of a $50 million company, you know, the stuff that I've learned to get to $15 million is just incredible. I want to be a powerful leader and a great leader that cares about people. And I want to be that for my sons and my wife. And I think that the road to $50 million makes you that way.
One of my favorite quotes of all time is from Jim Rohn. And that is, become a millionaire, not for the $1 million, but for what it will make of you to achieve it. That was really beautifully said, because usually I got to pry that answer out of people. It's like, well, why are you doing this? And most people don't have a really good answer. And that is one of the best I've heard, is who am I going to become on the journey there? Is that's exciting for you?
That's what matters. You know, I think that's what matters, but also for your people too. You know, imagine what it's going to take to be the director of marketing for a $50 million company. You know, there's a version of us that can do it. But we have to become those versions.
How are you dealing with getting rich?
I would say I'm not, you know, because we put everything back into the business. You know, in order to scale like we do now, we do get paid, of course.
We need to have a conversation about that.
Sure, sure. I got paradigms about that. I'm open to it. My family's never had much. I want to give that to my family. I want to be careful about that too. I want to make sure that people live an amazing life, but also the people that work for me as well. That's what's most important for me. But I think money is the result. I think when people focus on the money, they never get it. And when you just focus on building yourself and building people, you become the magnet for it.
I'm really blown away by what you guys are doing. I love the way you're thinking about your business, although the rich thing, if you want, we can have a conversation about that, because I'd like to help you accomplish something I didn't accomplish.
Sure.
When I was your age. When I was your age, I wanted to be a millionaire by 30. It took me a long, long time to figure it out. It eventually happened.
Sure.
And then a lot more, but it took a lot to get there. And I always, you know, it's one of the things in Success Society. I used to do this a lot more when the groups were smaller, but I would challenge people to accumulate $1 million outside of their business, not for the money. It's great, right? Sure. But it wasn't for the money so much as it was the accomplishment of, hey, I set up my business so that it paid me and it allowed me to build my wealth outside of the business. And when you have both, when you've got a business that's working for you, and you're able to accumulate wealth outside of the business. Now, you're young. You know, a lot of the people that I'm talking to are in their 40s, you know, and so you've got time. So with you and Derek, if you're putting money into the business and, you know, you're paying yourselves well, but you're not taking all of that money out yet, that works for you guys. But when you're in your 40s, even in your late 30s and your 50s, that's not a great strategy, and it rarely works.
That's a result of all the hard work. And of course, I'm going to love that result. And it's like my favorite quote ever is Abraham Lincoln. He says, if you ever want to test a true man's character, you give him power. Well, the modern day power is money, right? My whole goal in life is to be the man that's here today. I want to take care of others. I want to lead others, and I want to grow myself. And I'm going to use that as a tool more than anything else. And the opposite happens with a lot of people too. You give someone power and you see what they do with it, and it would blow your mind. So go back to, like, for example, like a canvassing thing, you know, we don't just guess our leaders. We give certain people a little bit of power and then we see what they do with it. If you eventually need another van leader, pick a guy, the best guy you think could do it, and say, hey, I want you to go run a van for a week. And then you just leave them. And you look at the data and you'll see that, oh, they took an extra lunch break or, you know, a couple gas station stops. And you're like, well, I didn't expect that. And then you take the guy that you never would. He's not a big performer, but he's good with people. And you pick him and he follows it exactly. And he actually brings more issued appointments to the table. Give someone power and see what they do with it.
I believe that you will not let that go to your head. I believe that you will use your power for good. And I believe that you will stay true to who you are. And by the way, you know, one of the fears that a lot of people have, and I put it actually in the Seven Secrets book too, because it's such a big thing. One of the fears that people have is that they're going to change, that somehow magically they're going to go from being this nice, humble person to now I've got $1 million in the bank and now I'm an asshole.
I don't fear that.
If you are an asshole to begin with, money is just an amplifier. You're just going to become more of an asshole. You know, if you're a good person with good values and, you know, you're clear about who you are and where you're going, money is just an amplifier. It's just going to allow you to have options, choices, the ability to do things that you may not have been able to do before. And a lot of that, you know, like with you, it's you want to help the people around you. That's a beautiful thing.
That was very well said. I wish I would have said it like that.
Well, look, man, I appreciate you being here and I'm going to have you back for updates, regular updates. I think will be fun as you're growing your business. And I'm looking forward to seeing you at Accelerate. Is Derek coming also?
Yep. Oh, we're both going. We're bringing our team. A lot of people are going to that. You know, a lot of my buddies and other masterminds as well. So we're really looking forward to it. I really appreciate you letting me on here in front of your audience. And my main goal is I want to inspire people.
I think you've done that. You've inspired me. I love it. I love to see. Listen, I remember what it was like to be your age. It was 30 years ago. Okay. I remember it. And I love to see it. Now, look, I didn't have a horrible life, but it wasn't what I had dreamed of when I was younger. I had a lot of stuff I had to get through in my own head. And when I see young people achieving and going forward and hungry, it just inspires me so much because I don't want people to go through the stuff I went through. I want to help people like avoid that stuff. You know, the heartache, the sleepless nights, the anxiety, the stress of all of that. It could be really crushing and heavy. I've seen it with people.
And I think certain things you don't want people to go through, but as a leader, and you are a leader of many, you know, I think, and Gottlieb taught me this, is you don't want to take away the training either. You know, for example, with my director of operations, I've had to fire so many people, you know, that I could have looked at her and said, I see that you feel awful. Let me do this right now. And it would have been easy. But that's not the point. You know, now that's called building people. Now she grew from that. I wouldn't have. You know, so oftentimes when you go through something really tough and horrible, you don't want other people to go through it. But that's what made you who you are. And you, sir, are a powerful leader.
There's a lot of truth in that. But it's also, for most people, it's not a switch. They're still going to go through it. But if they can get through it faster, without the grind on top of them, and without putting their families at risk.
Here at Top Home Improvements, we never try to recreate the wheel. We just take the wheel and we make it spin faster. That's it. And everyone else out there is trying to recreate the wheel. It's like, no, that's when all those problems occur. Like you always say, the playbook's out there. The wheel is out there. Just take the wheel and make it spin faster. That's all we do. We do nothing special at all, other than implement and spin fast.
At Success Society, that's one of our big things that we preach, is stop trying to reinvent the wheel. That's when you're right. That's when you start getting in trouble. That's when things slow down. That's when you don't make money. Good stuff, man. Hey, thank you for doing this. And again, I'm looking forward to seeing you guys in just a few weeks. And, you know, until next time, everybody, lot to learn here. Go back, listen to this one again. Good stuff here. And until next time, this is Brian Kaskavalsian, and this is the Wealthy Contractor Podcast.
Hope you enjoyed this week's episode. For insights on skyrocketing your home improvement business and accelerating your journey to the success, wealth, and freedom you've always dreamed about, be sure to get your free copy of my best-selling book, The 7 Secrets to Becoming a Wealthy Contractor, at www.thewealthycontractor.com. And don't forget to follow us on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. See you next time.